Hey guys, it's your girl Edith Yolanda, the Dame herself, and thank you for tuning into the Dame Truth. Oh my gosh, we're in the month of September, guys. I believe it is September 4th, and you know what I'm doing. I am counting down to one of my most favorite holidays of the year, which is Halloween, and I'm just like, yes! Halloween is coming soon. Cooler days are coming. Women's outerwear. Like, I just love diving into like the fall. So I'm counting down to October and all the festivities with the goons and the goblins and all that. But we're in September, and I had to kind of write down an itinerary for myself because I saw that I was kind of all over the place, and that's just how my brain works and functions. Like, I am super all over the place sometimes, and I just, if I don't have anything written down in stone and in order, my life just is all over the fucking place. And I suggest that, you know, if you have a mind that's like mine, a little bit, you know, kind of manic, I suggest that you write things down, and just, it helps you so much. I mean, even if you write it on a sticky note, or if you put it in your notes in your phone, sometimes just really organizing your brain helps you succeed in a lot of your goals that you're trying to accomplish, short-term and long-term goals. So that was just my little tip of the day. But in me doing this, I decided that I'm going to do my podcast once a week. I might do it twice, just depending on, you know, current events and things that take place during the week. But yeah, I think I'm going to podcast once a week. I'm going to try to do this every Tuesday, guys. Don't hold me to that. I don't know if I told you, but I'm an auntie, and I'm helping, you know, raise two fabulous teenagers, you know, helping take care of my mom and all these other things. So I have a lot on my plate right now, but I am hoping that I get a podcast out to you every fucking Tuesday, because that's what I wrote down and that's what I agreed upon. And if you guys want to join me, if you want to be a guest on the show, only thing you gotta do is hit me up. You know, I love a good conversation. I love spilling some tea. I love to laugh. So if you're lively and you're dope and you got some shit that you want to get off your chest, say it with your chest, then let's do it on Tuesdays. And I also want to thank my friend Remy. He's a really, really dear friend of mine, and he has a podcast right now that he just started. It's like 2 episodes, but he's a really, really, really cool guy, and I think you guys will love his commentary and the things that he has to say. So Keeping It Real with Remy is now on Anchor as well, so check him out. So today, guys, I just want to elaborate on some things. I made this post on Facebook. I actually went on Facebook Live. I went on Facebook Live a lot this past weekend, mainly because it was a long weekend, Labor Day weekend, but mainly it was because so much had gone down between the Aretha Franklin videos, between the Jeffrey Owens working at Trader Joe's, and the two young ladies that I met in my car while I was doing Uber this weekend, who were, one of the girls was 15, the other one was 18, and they were both moms. I had to go live, but there's some things that I didn't get to discuss on Anchor, which is my other form of social media and, you know, my outlets that I would like to speak on. And I'm promising you that this won't be a long podcast, because I just think that there's someone out there that agrees with me, and we need to keep it real. I want to take this time about keeping things real. And let's just talk about how overly sexualized our world is today, and how I feel that just right now, everything is just overtly sexual, and people are taking it to drastic levels. And a lot of people will not agree with what I have to say. I get that. But these are my feelings. These are my views. This is what I believe. And I honestly think that we need to be a little bit better with our thoughts. So, let's get into it. Again, thank you for joining in. Sit back. As I always recommend, have a cocktail, because child, this is going to be interesting, and you might have to sip on something better than some tea. It's your girl, Edith Yolanda. Let's go. All right, guys, so listen, I don't want to be offensive to anyone who really loves the Queen of Soul. I don't mean to be offensive to any of her family members. I don't want to be offensive. But there's some things I must discuss. There's some things that I have to discuss it, because as a culture, it disturbed me. What disturbs me the most is how Black people, we seem to always want to do the most, but it comes off looking really, really cheesy. There's very few people that I can honestly say can pull off the gaudy type look. Wendy Williams being one, and like your most famous drag queens, like they do the most. We expect things from drag queens, and we expect the most from like Wendy Williams to be just extra. You know what I'm saying? We expect Beyonce to be fabulous. Like we expect these things. But it seems like when it's an all Black production, it seems like it's always fucked up. Like it's always just too much. It always looks like you did too much with the least. Like if somebody were to say, you know, I want fine delicatessens, Black people would get it to, like if somebody said, I want a great cold cut sandwich, Black people would find a way to make a delicatessen delight turn out to just be bologna and mayonnaise. Like we that was a bad analogy. But it's so many other layers to just being great. It's a level of greatness. But when it becomes a level of greatness, you have to put on the layers. And you have to put on the layers to perfection. And I think that a lot of times when it comes to Black people, we strive for perfection, but we don't take the time to do it. One thing that my mother taught me, my mother is a fabulous cook, mind you. She's just good at it. She, like, there's not a dish that I can't say that I don't enjoy of my mom's, except for liver and onions, because I fucking hate liver. But my mother always told me, in order to be a great cook, you have to take your time at cooking. You have to take your time, and then your dish will come out perfect. For me, I can't say the same thing about Aretha Franklin's funeral. It seemed like they had almost 3 weeks to produce something that would give honor to the Queen of Soul. And it looks like they took those 2 weeks and just, I guess, mourn, or they were grieving. I don't know what it was, but bitch, it was horrible. First of all, when they told me that the weddings, funerals, weddings. I don't know why. I have to stop doing that because it freaks people out when I say that. But anyway, when I inquired about Aretha's funeral, I said, watch, this is about to be a 3-hour funeral. Someone corrected me and said, no, bitch, it's going to be a 6-hour funeral. I said, oh, 6 fucking hours? Are you kidding me? But in my mind, I said, you know what? She's the queen. I can't even remember how long Michael's funeral was, but I knew I was at work and Michael's funeral was kind of long because we were kind of streaming it online when Michael died through CNN and shit. So I was like, okay, you know, I might not be able to give her the whole 6, but I'm going to go ahead and record it. Bitch, for what? I went to work, came home, cooked, ate, went to the store, shopped, came back home, and the funeral was still on. I'm like, really? This is what we're doing? It's bad enough that we got multiple white people up in here. We got multiple cultures up in here. We got multiple people up in here. We got Louis Farrakhan up in here. And the only thing that we're doing is hooping and hollering and talking a bunch of foolishness. Like, it was ridiculous how long and how redundant. And when the niece got up there and decided to, you know, read the obituary, and we already know Aretha has a long, extensive catalog of music. We already know that she's a well-accomplished musician. We knew all of these things. Why do we have to read the whole fucking obituary that's talking about Aretha's aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, cousins in them, hairstylists in them? For what? Sit the fuck down. So, yeah, I think that it was just a bit much. I think it was a bit much. I feel like even the singers who they had lined up to sing and perform at her funeral, they were doing too much. We won't talk about Faith Hill and how she was off and strained every ounce of that song. Oh, dear God. Faith, we're not going to do that. It was just too much. The whole melody with Stevie Wonder and everybody, Jennifer Lewis and everybody up on the stage, I really just wanted to throw the whole funeral away. I think that this funeral would have been beautiful and it would have been orchestrated well in 4 hours. 4 hours the most. 4 hours. It would have been beautiful. Okay? The pastor who eulogized her funeral, garbage. Everybody said it was garbage. Even the family today made a post saying garbage. Sir, stop. Stop. Stop it. What are you doing? Eulogize the person that is laying before you, the woman who is dead before you. I even think that too many people were talking about her father. Her father been dead. Why are we talking about him? It's okay to mention him, but why are we talking about him? She is now home with the Lord and with her earthly father. Boom. That's all that needs to be said. This was not the time to talk about 45 and to bash 45. Stop having your political agendas in place at this woman's funeral. Yes, she was a civil rights activist. Yes, she helped, with the civil rights movement. Yes, she helped with Angela Davis when they were trying to frame her. Yes, these are all great things that we could pinpoint in her eulogy that nobody really spoke on. Jesse spoke on it. Al spoke on it. But still, I just feel like it was just too much. Every last person that got up on that stage to sing, screamed. Like, they were screaming, except for the woman that sung Ave Maria, and the Miss Du Bois, I can't remember her name, but they were more operatic singers. They did a wonderful job. They were professional. They knew what they were doing. Oh my God. They were the ones that brought a little bit of class to the funeral, because everybody, and y'all know I love Fantasia, but Fantasia, to kick off your shoes and start screaming on that song, I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy Jennifer Hudson, really, because I felt like she was getting to that point where she was just like too fucking much. Sing a goddamn song, sing the words for what they are, and move off the stage. Shaka, not only did you have the whole song on the back of that big ass fan, that fan looked like the damn decorative fans that my mom used to have on her wall. Not only did you have the words for the whole song that you should have known on the back of the goddamn fan, then bitch, you go up in the choir and start singing and don't want to stop. Like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? Why are we still here? It was just a mess. But this is the kicker. This is the God honest kicker right here. And then, like I said on Facebook, when I'm done with it, I'm done. Ariana Grande and this pastor. I feel somebody said that this is rape culture. Someone said that she was fondled. Someone said that he was trying to cop a feel. Someone said that she was uncomfortable. You can see it in her face. Let's just start off by saying how people do memes. People make memes and make videos off of reactions that the subjects have in a video or in a picture. In these memes, people insert whatever verbiage that they want to put in the meme, in the video. They put any type of music that they want and try to make something funny, something critical, something interesting. This is what people do. And I honestly feel like people who do memes and shit like this have way too much fucking time. But the people who were starting off with the memes, they first started off with Bill and Jesse, saying that Bill and Jesse were looking at Ariana Grande and they were both whispering. I've seen memes of people doing voiceovers, like Bill and Jesse were talking about Ariana's legs and her body and how they would smash, and how Hillary was on the other side. Bill, don't look too hard. Jesse, you know, like, people were actually making things comical. Then when it got from the comical standpoint of Bill and Jesse, now they're making memes, comical memes, about the pastor grabbing Ariana Grande's breast on the side. Now, this again, it started off funny until people who are in the Me Too movement, women who are feminists, women who are sensitive because they probably had some type of sexual abuse themselves, started seeing the memes of people who were being funny about this certain situation and said, it's not funny. This is now rape culture. This is now him fondling her. This is inappropriate. This is this. This is that. I saw a man that asked Ari, first of all, I saw a pastor that was taking up too much time making jokes that were inappropriate at this woman's funeral. Again, it was common, it was tacky, and it was not needed. He then invites Ariana Grande to come back on the stage, on the pulpit, and he grabs her in a loving, gesturing type of way. Does he know Ariana Grande from the joke that he said? No, he didn't. So I feel like he was being a little too familiar with the young lady that he did, whom he wasn't familiar with. But to sit here and say that this man was honestly trying to cop a feel of this young girl who barely has breast. Let's just talk about that. Everybody's talking about her side boob. The bitch barely has breast. She looks like a 12-year-old. Okay? I'm pretty sure this man doesn't know no Ariana Grande from a can of fucking paint. She looks like a minor. She's wearing 5-6-inch heels because she's so short. So the man grabs her back on the stage, jokingly makes a joke that was corny as fuck, and then he dismisses her. Then you have people, you know, zooming in and looking at, and oh, it looks creepy. Creepy? Wow. And creepy where? So you mean to tell me that this man, who is a pastor of a huge church, his wife is sitting on the same platform as all the other preachers and first ladies. She's sitting right up there. You have people behind him. You have millions of people looking at him, in front of him, and the congregation that was in the audience. And you mean to tell me that he's going to be that foolish to try to cop a feel on a young lady? From what it looks like, Ariana is smaller. She's not as big or curvy as the rest of the people. He just simply grabbed her over and they were laughing. They were joking. She even went in his direction. Nothing in the body language that she was giving was that of fear, that of discomfort, that of, you know, oh, why are you touching me? It was none of that. What it looked like was this young lady does not attend a regular black church on a regular basis. She didn't know what, if anything, Ariana Grande looked uncomfortable when she first came out because she didn't even know where to stand. If you look at her, she came out, then she went back, and then she came back out, and then she went on the other side of the pulpit. So she was looking more uncomfortable about not knowing where to even stand to sing, "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman," in the church. You know, like, I feel like there's so many people that, and I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't want to offend my white friends, but there is a different culture when it comes to white churches and black churches. It's a different culture for those of you who do not attend fucking church, never been to a church, or people who don't even subscribe to the Christian way of life. When you start hanging around so many white people that are, oh, this is the Me Too movement, oh, I am a feminist and all this other bullshit. Let me tell you something about black women. Black women have had to be strong for a very long time, and I don't think that we're going to decide to be weak now. Stop making victims out of everything that you see. A lot of people, let me tell you something. Black women, we are not victims. If something is not right, or if we know that we are being taken advantage of, we are going to speak on it. I get that. But what we're not going to do is make everything about sex, or make everything about men being over-sexualized and just dirty dogs of men. That is killing our culture. That is, right now, men don't know whether if they can pay a woman a compliment. They don't know if they can touch the shoulder of a woman, kind of hug her with one hand, I mean, we gotta stop it. It's getting out of control. It's getting out of hand. And then in the same token, we're talking about men being so creepy and out of order and out of place and inappropriate. And then in the same token, y'all turn around and talk about the young lady's dress. Again, she does not attend a black church. Again, she probably does not attend church on a regular basis, period. Again, she does not have the same culture as we do. Again, she didn't get dressed by the first lady of the church or by the mother of the church. She got dressed by a stylist. Again, Aretha Franklin's family asked her to perform a natural woman. Again, if anything was inappropriate, it was the song that was chosen to sing in a church. Who sings "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman" inside of the house of the Lord, when we definitely know that Aretha was talking about a nigga fucking her? I'll wait for it. So now we got the people of the church talking about her dress and how inappropriate it was, but yet y'all not going to talk about the song selection? We're not gonna remember how Aretha used to have them big, long, sagging titties and them spaghetti straps that looked like they was about to pop at any fucking minute. We're not gonna talk about that. We're not gonna talk about how Aretha was up on Soul Train with them titties, with them pasties on, and everybody was just looking at her titties in that see-through dress. We're not gonna do this, huh? Oh, okay. See, this is the hypocrisy of everybody in the world today. Aren't we freaks? Yes, we're turning into freaks of fucking nature. And it's not a good look. It's not a good look. I'm going to tell you right now, if a young man looks good, I'm going to tell him he looks good. If I look good, bitch, tell me I look good. I accept the compliment. Thank you very much. Because not only did I spend an hour and a half to get dressed, bitch, I want somebody to compliment me on it. Do I want somebody to give me a hug that's tight? Yes, bitch. Because I deserve a hug that's tight. But I'm not going to sit here and be, you know, so taken back. The only way that I will be offended is if a man actually grabs my ass, grabs my breast, grabs my vagina, rubs on my thighs. To me, those are different types of rape culture. When a man says, "Yo, your titties look really good in that dress," to me, that's inappropriate. A man that says, "Damn, you got a fat ass," that's inappropriate. But let's just think about it. You bitches sit back and listen to rap lyrics talking about you love trap music, and they call y'all all kinds of bitches and hoes and how they want you to suck and cum all in your face, and y'all sit back and y'all dance to that shit. Y'all dance to Drake saying that he just wanna fuck. So why is it that y'all are so offended when somebody's in a church and now a quote-unquote pastor is being inappropriate because he grabbed the young lady's side that basically was supposed to be side boob, but she looked so underdeveloped, there ain't even really no titty. It looked like it could be just padding there. Like, give me a break. That's what you're not going to do. And this is how I know that there is an attack on the church. There's an attack on people who are, you know, Christians and shit. Because the things that y'all are focusing on, you're not focusing on it. I made in my post on Facebook, I said there are hundreds of priests that have been indicted on, like, they were molesting children, full on sex. And I bet you can't tell me not one of their names. Not one. The Pope turned a blind eye to one of these priests that was molesting children. I bet you couldn't give me that priest's name. I bet you couldn't. you have to work on yourself, and you have to realize the majority of us that have issues like this is because we have unresolved issues that have taken place in our lives in the past that we have unresolved, and we need to talk to somebody. We need to seek help, and we need to get help fast, because when you start looking at everything that is in a negative light, or you know, something that is just disrespectful and crude and rude, like, y'all become the drag of the party, like a negative fucking Nancy. Like, nothing can be said around you guys, and I'm sorry, but I'm gonna always speak my truth, and I don't give a fuck if it offends anybody, because my truth is my truth. And if you want to fire me, then fucking fire me. If you don't want to support me, then don't fucking support me. But at the end of the day, bitch, I'm going to speak the truth. The truth is that the Me Too movement has women so fucked up that they don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going. The Me Too movement has women thinking that all men are bad. The Me Too movement has women thinking that they don't need men. The Me Too movement has women thinking that they don't need men in the household. They can do this shit by themselves. The Me Too movement has everybody thinking that they're a fucking victim, and they're not. They're not. I do not celebrate the Me Too movement. I do not. I'm sorry. It's gotten out of control. It's out of hand. And until you guys can prove me otherwise, I'm sticking to my views. Now, I know I said that this was not going to be a long podcast. I think I'm ending it right before 30 minutes. But I just really want us to look at our culture, look at, you know, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, what is purposeful and what's not. And let's just be real, guys. Be real. Let's be real. The things that, you know, that we're pointing out right now, but then we celebrate other things that are just as negative, you're being hypocritical. You're being real hypocritical. If you can sit back and watch Insecure and have men dog the fuck out of a woman, but yet point out everything negative that's being done in a black church, you're being hypocritical. Hypocritical, Amanda Seals. You're being hypocritical. I listen to her. I see her Instagram. I used to listen to her podcast, and I think that she's a hypocrite in majority of the things that she's saying. A true hypocrite. A true one. It's just so much that I can speak on tonight. I'm just going to end this how it is. Let's just be real, but let's not be blinded by our let's not be blinded by social media and the fuckery that's going on today. This is so difficult because what is somebody's truth might not be somebody else's truth. But y'all out of line with this right here. I'm gonna just let you know that. And I'm gonna also let you know that if you die, and I feel like your funeral is going to be more than 3 hours long, bitch, I'm not coming. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I love you for tuning in. You can always find me on Instagram at Hermosa Cosmetics. You can find me on Facebook under Edith Yolanda. You know I'll be looking for you guys. You know I love you. You know I really enjoy this. I really enjoy having this platform to reach out to so many people. I hope that you share my shit. I hope that you tell your mama and them about my shit, even though I'm cussing and fussing a whole lot. I really hope that y'all just send me some love. Leave a message. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know if there's some things that I might need to recant on or adjust. But just thank you. Until the next time, mwah, I'll see you then.